Hi, I'm Peter Gilmore, and you're listening to the Crest of the Wave podcast from RYA Northern Ireland. On this week's episode, I chat with perhaps two of the most brilliantly bonkers women I have ever met. Lara Sunday and Jennifer Bryce met at a Woman on Water festival in 2019 and quickly decided they should sail in the World Championships. Aside from simply learning how to sail, their journey into the sport has been completely chaotic. And without revealing too much, they joked to me that, among other things, they now have the police on speed dial. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Girls, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. This is a bit of a first for the Crest of the Wave podcast because I've got two guests on with me, two women. It's an all-time first for me. but as I say, an absolute pleasure to have you on. Firstly, just how are things?
Good. Thank you for having us. We're just warming up.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so we're here tucked up in the bar at Newton Arse Sailing Club, and you've just been out in your GP14. You're just about warmed up. Yeah. I want to chat to you just about your journey into sailing because it's pretty unique in many ways. First of all, how did you two meet? I'll maybe ask that to you, Lara.
So it was 2019. And Donaghadee Sailing Club ran Women in Water, and I think it was it 4 or 6 weeks? Four-week course, and I wanted to try sailing, so I went.
Had you ever done any bits of sailing before that?
Never.
So what was it which drew you to the sport?
So I'd always, I canoed as a kid. My dad was a canoe instructor when I was a child, but I hadn't done it since I was a teenager. I always, like, swam in the sea, like, years before it was fashionable to go sea swim. And I just wanted to try it, and a friend of mine said, well, there is a woman water program who sailed. And I was like, right, I'll give it a go. And me and another friend went. And on the last day, so it was the first year Women in Water had their festival. And I decided I'll buy a ticket. I'll go on my own, and I just thought, I'll go to it. Because I did the course and really loved it. So it was the last day. And Jennifer walked over. We were all sort of standing around the boat. And she introduced herself and asked, is anybody going to the festival? And I said, I am. So it turns out Jennifer just lives down the road, and it was kind of handy. She's the best helm in the world. She doesn't drink. So so she gave me a lift so that I could, I think there was one of the, Copeland's Gin was sponsoring it. So,
now it comes out, the reason why you got involved.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, and we went to the festival, and we had an amazing day, brilliant crack. Mm-hmm. And that night at dinner, we were like, right, let's go and take a club boat out tomorrow. So this was on the Saturday. We'll take a boat out tomorrow. And we did.
And get stuck in. Yeah. And Jennifer, you obviously met Lara there, as she said, for the first time. What was it which kind of drew you to Lara and you decided you'd sail together?
Well, we had a very good day. We tried lots of different activities together. Mm-hmm. And it was like a nice swim. There's nothing stressful happening, so probably that helped too. So I had a really lovely day. And I had just started trying to helm a GP, so kind of like on the way home we were chatting. I said, just how brave are you? Because I know you've never sailed before, and I'm just starting to helm this double-handed boat. How brave are you? Would you like to come out with me?
But you yourself didn't have heaps of sailing experience. What was your journey into sailing?
So 2016, I went with a school trip. I'm a school teacher, and we went to Donaghadee Sailing Club, who were hosting level one, level two, three and four courses for the children to go to. And I really enjoyed it. I was just like helping out and hanging around, trying out a bit myself. And I'd asked the ladies who were instructing at the time, is there anything for adults? And they said, well, actually, we've just started this Women on Water program run by the RYA, and you can come along. So that was in August. That was like 4 trial weeks, and absolutely loved it. I made some good friends on the course as well. And we were like, can we do another course, please? So in September that year, then we did the level one course. And then they kind of said, if you join the club, you can come out sailing with us. I was like, what? Can I? So then I think it was that Christmas time, then we had a letter from the club say, would you like to come and try GPs? And we'll run a 4-week course in January to try and get more crews involved. That's probably the scariest night of my life when I walked into the club and didn't know a single person. I met loads of people and they were very, very friendly. And then kind of got hooked, basically, from there.
Yeah, you talk about it being really scary there. And obviously there is that sort of barrier for the first time. Do you think it was fair enough to have those sort of perceptions in your head that this was going to be a really terrifying experience? Or, you know, after you stepped through that threshold, mm-hmm. was it fine?
Well, most sailing clubs are incredibly friendly places, I think. You know, you just have to be brave for the initial go along on your own, or try and drag friends along with you if you've got people. So lots of sailing clubs would have these kind of events to try and bring new people in. You know, it's definitely worth it if you can just get yourself through the door, I would say.
Yeah. And now roll the clock forward just a few years.
Yeah.
You've now sailed in the GP14 Worlds together.
Yeah.
That, to me, is hugely impressive.
Thank you.
As you've only picked up sailing in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
And whose idea was it to sail in the Worlds together?
Well, we actually were hugely optimistic. So that 2019, we started sailing together. That Christmas, so Christmas of 2019... It was the Christmas do at Donaghadee, and James, who Jennifer crewed for, was retiring from GP14 sailing, and maybe a few drinks had been had, and he had a really good...
Copeland's gin, perhaps.
Yeah, and James was like, I'll lend you my boat if you two want to do the Worlds. So the Worlds was meant to be in August 2020. How we ever thought that we would do the Worlds. So that was the Christmas. But we just went, yeah.
A year after you'd first
second
boat. Less than a...
This is a few months.
A few months. Because that was like the August. I started August 2019.
Yeah.
And so we decided to go for it. And then obviously...
James sold me the boat.
And
then Jennifer ended up buying the boat in March, just before COVID hit.
So James said, do you want to sail the world? And you went... Granted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically how it went.
This seemed like a fantastic...
Wasn't thing. A very long developed conversation.
No.
And...
From main course to dessert.
So you said yes, but were you nervous?
I think we had no concept of how difficult
things
could be at an event.
Definitely.
We hadn't really thought it through in any way.
No, we just... But it gave us a point to work for.
Yeah.
I think that was it gives you a sense of, okay, we can work towards that.
And while you've been working towards that, obviously you've done it now, and as they sort of say, the rest is history.
Yeah.
What were your main challenges along the way?
I would say we've been very brave. We've turned up to events. That was the first big challenge, was actually going to an away event somewhere. So we had, in 2021, in June, Newton has hosted the Ulsters, and that was our first event together, and that was... Fine. It was very, very light winds. Didn't really know how to sail in very light winds, so we came last, but it was still a big experience.
And we hadn't sailed with more than eight boats,
exactly.
I think, ever, and there was how many? Nearly 30?
Yeah, it was big.
That was
terrifying.
Like going from
club
racing to...
Yeah, so one of the guys from Blessington was that they were hosting
Richard,
the next events, so Richard Street talked us into travelling down. Like, well, we haven't thought about this. I'd only towed my... Towing my boat was another big challenge.
Yeah.
I had never driven with a towing boat across the Glencoe, so
because it's interesting you talking about all those little things like boats on a start line, towing it, and whatever. As one of our big things which we're doing as part of a load of things to improve the diversity of sailing in Northern Ireland, we had some independent research done last year, and one of the key findings from that was that it's a much easier thing for people to pick up sailing if they've come from a quote-unquote sort of sailing family. Neither of you two have come from sailing families, so that must have been a real journey in itself.
Again, I don't think we realise that everybody else that we meet is like third-generation sailors.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was
in
the fleet. Their granddad sailed.
The youngest in the fleet have been sailing for longer than
we had.
Our partners are hugely supportive as well and encouraging, so that kind of... helps. But there's practicalities. Like, I think if we hadn't, I don't know about it, we can only speak for the GP14 fleet, but the whole fleet was hugely encouraging and supportive of the practicalities of
rigging the boat,
of getting from point A to B. I mean, we had the biggest event, our first competition in Blessington, getting there.
This already sounds like a story.
There's helicopters, and there was a fox deer, a deer fox.
Podcast is 20 minutes long.
Oh, okay. but there was helicopters involved. We eventually got there.
Give me a wee bit more than that.
Basically, the tyre blew out on the M50. On the trail. My first.
And you got picked up by a helicopter?
No, he was hovering above.
You got picked up by a fox deer?
No. We got rescued by.
No, we got rescued. So we ended up calling, and then they phoned us back, and then a helicopter waited, watching us to make sure we were okay, because we're at the side of the motorway. And then they sent someone, and we got, because we could have changed it ourselves, but it was too dangerous because it was on the wrong side of the motorway.
It was on the roadside.
Roadside, so we couldn't change it. So anyway, it came out, he fixed it, it was all grand, we got on the road again, and we're heading into Blessington, and these two young men decided to overtake us. That was fine. And that was grand, we didn't think anything of it. They're going pretty fast, but whatever. And we came around a corner, and these two young men had gone into a wall. Mm-hmm. So we had to stop and help them. They were both not quite in the right mind.
They were blaming the fox.
So this is the thing. So they both thought that a fox deer, had run out in front of them, which had caused them to crash. I had to phone the police for the second time.
It's the same journey.
In about an hour and a half.
So you've now got them on speed dial.
They're like, what was it you? And so we were quite, at that point,
a bit shaken by
the events. So we phoned Richard and let him know what had happened. And then, so this is how we met good friends of ours, down in Cologne Sailing Club, because they'd already arrived. Richard had phoned and said, there's two girls coming. They've had a bit of a traumatic experience getting there. And Desi turned around. We arrived at the club, and he just looked at me and went, are you Lara and Jennifer? And he went, would you like wine or tea? So Jennifer had a tea and I had wine. And that was our first ever sailing competition. That's how it started.
I have to say, you girls really wanted to go to that GP14 event.
Yeah.
Yes.
If ever there was an advert for the GP14 fleet, that would be it. Yeah. Because
with deer foxes.
You really want to get there. Mm-hmm. Something, obviously, there are a lot of barriers to women on sailing. What would you say to any women who are potentially nervous about trying it for the first time?
I would say definitely be brave and ask for help, because everybody wants to help. Everybody wants you to enjoy their sport that they've grown up with, and they're glad to see new people, and they just want to help, so ask.
There's no stupid questions.
Yeah.
And don't be self-conscious of looking stupid or... Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also... There is a bit, not brave, I don't know what it is, I don't know if it's brave, but just enjoy it, like, just do it. Life's too short not to do it.
Enjoy the ride.
And you have to have a sense of humour.
You would need to if you've got the police on speed dial.
My friend didn't continue. She actually, a girl got hit by the boom and got a really bad guy, and it kind of totally put her off it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe you do have, there is a certain level of...
Have to be quite resilient.
There is actually a part of sailing that is about resilience and about trust. Like, we've been through things together. I trust Jennifer explicitly. We've been in situations where it can be dangerous if you don't communicate and you don't trust the other person.
When the boat's upside down.
And there's some things which are really specific to women, which are challenges which me as a man, I don't face. One thing we've discussed off air is menstrual cycles and how that plays a part. And that was another thing which cropped up when we did our independent research. Yeah. Is that something to be particularly afraid of? Or how can you as a woman get around that?
I don't think it's a matter of getting around it. Like, we talked about this. Like, for me, it can impact my confidence. Like, just my emotions. Like
hormone levels.
But yeah, it's hormonal. Your confidence levels are at their dip, especially just before your period starts. And so, but then afterwards, as soon as it starts, you're back. Your energy levels pick up. So there's a real physicality as well as emotional that can happen. I don't know if there's things you can do food, but it's also, I suppose, an understanding of we're not hard on each other if we're maybe not going out and feeling like, you know, you're not.
And it is a completely natural process, which I feel probably needs to be discussed more, because the support you have from other people in the sport on those things.
Maybe it's easier because we're an all female crew. I don't know, because I've never talked to women who have had the experience of not having a I don't know how understanding is a male helm who is not feeling on top of the world. I don't know. I suppose there's very practical things you can maybe do to make sure that, like, what you eat maybe or things can help. If clubs, I suppose, provide, you know, the space and things, and it can help. But I don't think, like, it shouldn't stop you.
Yeah, and that's really great to hear, because
I still go to work. Yeah, very much. I think most women would say there's just a practice. It's a part of life. It's not. It shouldn't be a barrier to anything.
And that is really great to hear, because I wouldn't want anyone to be impeded to get involved in sailing based off their gender. But while you're talking about kind of the emotional support and everything, a real turning point obviously for you guys was that Women on Water Festival, which we discussed earlier. On one level, that day is all about trying different types of boating and sailing and all sorts. But another huge element of it, which maybe isn't discussed enough, is the community of women which you meet there. What was that whole experience like?
It's quite inspirational meeting all these women that have careers within sailing. I didn't even realise it was a thing. Yeah. And meeting ladies they just came across as so confident in their skills. And
did that inspire you to be more confident?
Yeah,
definitely. It was possibilities. Yeah. You know, there was women ranging from teenagers, really, I suppose, to women in their 60s, 70s, who were still sailing.
And on one level, I suppose it is quite a unique sport in that sense, because, say, I played a bit of rugby at school, but I'm not going to do that when I'm 80, but I firmly intend to keep sailing until I'm 80.
Oh, yeah, our club, we've got good friends, Kelly Morris, Alistair, that are still...
They haven't stopped.
They're still in the gold fleet, you know. And I suppose that's the other thing about starting at our age, because I was in my late 30s and you 40.
Exactly.
That it's not like we're starting something that we can only do for another year or two. I feel as if, don't get me wrong, I don't know if I'm going to be competing in a GP14 when I'm 80.
I don't think I would be either.
A GP14, they're very physical boat. And like one of the things we have noted as women, it doesn't, not impede, but like we are aware that it's harder for us to get the boat flat, for instance, in heavy winds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. It's like, I'm 8.5, don't move 9. Yeah. And I think, what's the idea?
This is about the combined weight of me.
But there is this, a physicality, like we can't, you know, we don't have the same strength as a, say, an old man. I don't know.
But there's different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, you have to
all sorts of boats out there.
Yeah.
What are your goals for the future? That's potentially quite a big can of worms to be opening. But sailing is one of those fantastic sports which you can do until you're 80. You're both pretty new into the sport.
Yeah.
So presumably you've had a little bit of a think about the future.
Like to keep improving our skills in racing.
Yeah.
Get better, more consistently winning things. That'd be good.
We've come third and second a few times.
Yeah.
In the bronze.
Well, we won bronze when nobody was there.
Yeah, well, no other bronze went on. Because the weather was too bad.
Everyone was too scared.
Maybe a couple more worlds. And being consistent in our competitions, right? Because we do...
Normally we have one or two good races and then the others we're annoyed with. So it would be good to have more consistently good races if I'm going to an event.
And that comes with time. Yeah. Another thing you have mentioned as well in the past is traveling more. You're over to Pateli for the Worlds.
Yeah.
this coming year. That must be a hugely exciting experience.
Yeah.
The most daunting thing right now is how do you drive them to the ferry?
Yeah. I think that would be a daunting thing for me as well.
Yeah, and I don't have the police on speed dial over there. So.
Yeah, we could maybe exchange numbers after this podcast.
Yeah, you can put contacts there. Yeah, no, it's that's doing the worlds and getting there would be good. And I think what's nice about there's now more, because there's more women competing in the GP14 fleet, they can actually have a women's competition as well as the men, you know.
In its own right.
In its own right, because that was the first, in 2022, that was the first time they'd had an official women's GP14 worlds for women. So that was amazing, you know. So that even that there is that opportunity now that we could maybe go for that. Mm-hmm. I think like we came, so there was 106 boats and we came 89th, and we double digits for our
aim.
So we were happy with 89th. But on the last day, I think we had a 69.
Yeah, the last day was very stormy, and we stayed upright and just kept flying around. And actually, the people on the rescue.
And you forget how
cheering us on by the night, because the wet conditions that worlds were just horrendous. It went from no wind to gale force.
The days when there was hardly any wind, we were staying up in the fleet, and then the race got abandoned. It was devastating. We didn't get any light wind races, if we could have a light wind worlds, we'd fly.
Yeah,
I think it's a chat, but it has been a challenge in the past 2 years. The weather conditions, like we seem at it. I suppose it's a sign of what's happening globally, but we get conditions where just the wind is just atrocious, or there is no wind, and there doesn't seem to be a happy. It's very hard to get some, I suppose, happy medium between. One of the things, the skills that we've had to kind of that are harder in some ways is light wind, because it takes more strategy and technique to do light wind racing than heavy wind. Heavy wind is for us just staying alive and just holding on.
But we've learned to stay upright.
We have,
apart from now going downwind, it's causing us problems when it's blowing absolute gale. We're capsizing on the run now.
Yeah.
Boat just spins out from under us. And
well, fellas with sawdust in their head, like myself, tend to do poorly in the light winds. But I really hope that you two will be kind of a beacon of inspiration for people getting into the sport going forward. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you today. So all the best for the future, and keep giving it to them.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crest of the Wave podcast. If you'd like to follow in Jennifer and Lara's footsteps, then why not sign up to a Women on Water festival yourself? You can do so by searching the RYANI Eventbrite page or by clicking the link in the description of this podcast. Take care of yourself until you hear from me next on the Crest of the Wave podcast.